Okay, so that's important to think about. It's still in effect. And like I pointed out earlier, U.S. Public Law 87-297 and other subsequent or other laws that followed are just following along the same lines. And then lastly, I'll cover the last two there, Memorandum Number 7 and Number 5. Well, Memorandum Number 7, this was the study that led to all of this, and it's called World Effectively Controlled by the U.N. In February 1961, the Kennedy administration, State Department, led by Secretary of State Dean Rusk, hired the private Institute of Defense Analysis under contract number SCC-28270 to prepare a study showing how disarmament could be employed to lead to world government. This study was completed by Dr. Lincoln Bloomfield, an associate professor of political science and the director of arms control project at the Center for International Studies at MIT. He also would serve with the State Department's disarmament staff. Now, here's some quotes from Bloomfield in this study. And he states that world means that system is global, with no exceptions to its fiat. Universal means effectively controlled, connotes a relationship, a relative monopoly of physical force at the center of the system, and thus a preponderance of political power in the hands of supranational organization. The United Nations is not necessarily precisely the organization as it now exists. Finally, to avoid endless euphemism and evasive verbiage, the contemplated regime will occasionally be referred to unblushingly as world government. Okay, his own words. He also said, a world effectively controlled by the United Nations is one in which a world government would come about through the establishment of supranational institutions characterized by mandatory universal membership and some ability to employ physical force. Effective control would thus entail a preponderance of political power in the hands of a supranational organization. The present UN Charter could theoretically be revised in order to erect such an organization equal to the task envisioned, thereby codifying a radical rearrangement of power in the world. He also stated, the principal features of a model system would include the following. 1. Power sufficient to monitor and enforce disarmament, settle disputes and keep the peace, including taxing powers, with all powers reserved to the nations, with all other powers reserved to the nations, which isn't much. An international force balanced appropriately among ground, sea, air, and space elements, consisting of 500,000 men recruited individually, wearing a UN uniform, and controlling a nuclear force composed of 50 to 100 mixed land-based mobile and undersea-based missiles, averaging 1 megaton per weapon. 3. Governmental powers distributed among 3 branches at the world level, a world federal government. 4. Compulsory jurisdiction of the international court. I don't hope to see any of us. I wouldn't want to see any of us there. And then I'll get right into Project Phoenix. Project Phoenix, okay, basically surfaced in 1964 through the pressure of constituents concerned that were placed upon congressmen. Project Phoenix, which had surfaced in 1964, which was also produced by the Institute for Defense Analysis for the U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, talks about basically, well, let me read one of the quotes here from the Phoenix Project. It states, unification at the present approach may appear so radical that it will be dismissed out of hand. Nevertheless, its logical simplicity is so compelling that it seems to warrant more systematic investigation. And of course, they're talking about convergence, unification with the Soviet Union. This was earlier discovered by Norman Dodd, who I mentioned earlier. And Norman Dodd, when he was investigating the tax-exempt foundations, he was invited to the Ford Foundation, and the Ford Foundation president, Rowan Gaither, told him this. He stated to Mr. Dodd, who was the director of the Reese Committee, Mr. Gaither of the Ford Foundation stated, of course you know that we, at the executive level here, were at one time or another active in either the OSS, the State Department, or the European Economic Administration. During those times, and without exception, we operated under directives issued by the White House. At the time, it was Eisenhower. We are continuing to be guided by just such directives. And he asked him, would you like to know what those directives were? Or would you like to know what those directives are? And Norman Dodd, before he could say anything, he went on and H. Rowan Gaither, the Ford Foundation president, stated, the substance of these directives was due to the effect that we should make every effort to so alter life in the United States as to make a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. Now, we see that today, don't we? With the Charter for American-Russian Partnership that was signed between Yeltsin and Bush. We got FBI offices over there. They have offices here. We saw, especially in the early 90s, we saw a lot of this convergence actions going on. And so we see in our lifetime today this convergence going on, especially with the perestroika and glasnost. We now see that since we can't use the menace of the Soviet Union to be our impetus towards world government, they're now bringing up the environmental problem as a main impetus to lead us towards world government. Since environmentalism crosses all boundaries, they're going to try to press that issue as the number one enemy on mankind so we can move towards world government. And with that, unfortunately, I have no more time. And there's so many more quotes that I just don't have time to get into. But what I'm saying is that we've been deceived, and it's documented, and we can look at it for ourselves. We can go to any library, look under the topics of globalization, world government, or whatever, and we can find the information for ourselves. So what I'm saying is it's not a conspiracy. It's out in the open. There's nothing hidden about it. We're moving towards world government slowly, and there's hardly a response by anyone, except a few organizations and a few Americans here and there. We are, as you can see plainly around us, that we are slowly moving in that direction. And we see the UN being empowered more and more. Haiti is a UN operation. Somalia was a UN operation. There was many atrocities committed there against the Somalian people by Canadian, Italian, and Belgian troops that were never told to American people. Bosnia is under NATO, which is a UN regional arrangement. So every war since even Panama was under UN jurisdiction. And so with that, I want to encourage everybody to tell other people about it, to do your research yourself, and you can soon discover that we're moving in that direction. And we're, as Christians, we're to fight evil. Yes, world government's coming, but it doesn't have to happen right now. And we're called to be righteous and to warn people about world government. It's not what we want unless Jesus is in charge of it. With that note, I'd like to thank you.